Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And also join us on the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Now, the following program has been pre-recorded in front of a live audience, so please forgive the occasional sound fluctuation. And now, here's David.
The House of Judah, Solomon, David. That's the blood he shed. Why can't we get that? That's the blood he gave up. The same way Buddha, Gautama, gave up his place as the prince to live an easy life in the palace because who he was by blood. There's a very much of a similarity in these stories that weaves the tapestry together. You've got to find what I call the thematics. Not just the theme, but the thematics. The thematics is the threads that pull all of these stories that have survived for thousands and thousands of years. And you can't just take one version, the Christian, Judeo-Christian version. You've got to take all of the versions, and a lot of those versions are older than Christianity. Christianity wants to take the place of starting so much of these things. They didn't start, they borrowed them for what was already around. Like everybody else borrows, I borrow. People borrow my stuff, I borrow their stuff. Everybody's borrowing. Because we're all seeking that thread of truth that runs through the tapestry of all that we're saying. And I get real upset when people get big egos and they call and they say, well, you didn't give me credit. I had that recently happen with a name that you would all know, but I'm not going to mention it. I mean, literally whining. This powerful speaker and writer. Well, I heard on your tapes and you quoted something from my book. You didn't give me any credit. And I said, well, do you believe that truth came from the universal source? Then how can you copyright it? How can you own it? I'm not after what comes through from you. I'm looking for what came through you. And anything that comes through me, you can use it. I'm tired of us carrying around these little dreary egos. You know? I don't copyright my tapes. We encourage, make copies, give to friends, do whatever you want to do. Sometimes with the books, you have to do that for the purpose, not of being exclusive, but that people can't take your book and change the information to fit their thinking. But that's different. Do you understand? Look at the thematics. Here is the first Buddha was born in royalty, lived within the confinement of a world in which there was no pain, no sorrow. Everything was wonderful as long as he was in the walls of the palace. But in one day venturing outside the gate of the palace, he was amazed to find people laying in the streets, suffering and starving. And he left. He left his what he was by blood and went out and said, I must find the answer to the suffering of the world. And he went out and he sat and he meditated and he went first real extreme. And people tend, that's the first thing they tend to do is get real extreme. Human beings are that way. We tend to get all this way. But he found out that didn't work either. And finally, after going through the extremities, he came back with a powerful line and told those who didn't understand him. They thought he was compromising himself, but he said, I have found that the way is the middle way. Follow the middle road. Balance. Balance. Big word. Everybody say the word balance.
Balance.
In the Aramaic language, the word for religion is dina, D-I-N-A, and in its most pure definition means balance. Religion was to be, it's an idea, it's still pure. That's why I think it's the book of James that calls it pure religion. It's only one or two times that the word religion is used in the Bible, it's called pure religion. I like that. I like the word pure. The word pure in the Greek, such as blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, means transparent. Isn't that great? Means transparent. And remember those pure streets of gold we was going to walk on? Guess what? You'd never see gold because it was transparent. You'd be walking on transparency. What that means is just what we were trying to talk about last night. Naked. Naked of labels, fig leaves, no badges, no buttons, no bumper stickers, no nothing, trying to tell the world who we are, because as ego, we are so transparent that all they see is the shining light of the true self that we are, emanating until we're wearing it on our nakedness as garments of light. That's what it says. David, writing about God in Psalms, says God, that about us, says we are, that God is as garments of light. But you can't put that garment over a Babylonian garment. Hear what I'm saying? You can't keep your Babylonian religious garment on and put on the garment of light. And that's why we've been through these years of undoing, detoxifying, all of this stuff that's not been the most fun. And for you that was not here last night, we were talking in the office, having a meeting this week about the theme for the retreat this year. You know, we went through the whole things of chaos and transformation and da-da-da, and I said, something just rose up in me and said, no more. It's time to build. It's time to build. And I'm going to go through everywhere where the word build is. You got to build your house on the rock, not on the sand. You got to build. It's time to build with new building blocks. To rebuild your body. To rebuild your psyche. To rebuild yourself as the new human. Transparent, pure. Pure religion means someone that is transparent of religious labels. Blessed are the pure in heart means someone that is so transparent that they shall see God. The God you are. See, ego said, oh, goody, if I'm real good and pure, and I'm, you know, don't do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that, I'll be so pure and righteous that I'll get to see God. No, it's about them seeing God, the God you have said you are, 99% of you in this room. Declare your own divinity. If you don't, I don't know if you're in the right place, because that's our premise. That's our fundamentalism. Our fundamentalisms, we come from a premise of identity of who we are. That we're a part of the one. That God is no longer separate and above us. But we've even gone a step further than God is in us to God as us. We've moved from hope to glory. The hope was Christ in us. The glory is Christ as us. And what is written in your law, and it's not talking about the law written in ink, but the law written in the spirit of your heart. That law has said, ye are gods. Ye are divinity. You are divine. You are expressions of the one. So transparency, authenticity, getting real. Stopping the BS. Stop lying to yourself and stop lying to each other. The brain lies. I said the brain lies. The brain, your brain lies to you. And when the brain lies to you and you tell that lie to somebody else, you think you're telling the truth. Because it's true that you're, what your brain said to you. That's where the illusion comes in. The illusion is that, yes, I heard that. I'm telling you the truth. I heard that. But what you heard is a lie. So the lie becomes your truth. And that kind of truth won't make you free. Oh, well. Balance. Places of balance. We just recently did some research with our tuning forks, with the Soul Manager tuning forks, because I'm really trying to bring right and left brain together in this interesting new venture that has been handed to me. And it has become an adventure. Let me tell you what's happening. One thing that I'm doing, and some things that I think are different than other modalities, is we are not disregarding the left brain. We're not regarding the ego as the enemy, the villain. We're off the stage. We're off the stage. No more melodrama. I don't have to have a villain to have my hero. I don't need the victim anymore. The show is over. The end. And now I'm the one who was sitting in the theater all along watching my movie. When I thought I was in the movie, I was the movie, I was in the movie, but it was only a role and a part that I had been assigned by myself and culture and society and some help out there, but it's over. Now I've got to leave the theater and be me, the observer. And as the observer, I have to understand my power, because power comes with observation. Power comes with observation, proven scientific proof. So what I'm saying is, instead of ignoring the left brain, the intellect, that which seeks knowledge, and I'm going to make knowledge here a little different than information. Information's a little different than knowledge. Remember, I talked about two levels last night called the photons and the phonons. These are kind of subatomic physics terms, but everybody probably in here, a photon, it means light. Photon is light, but it's a lesser light than phonons. Phonons is about an octave higher than photons, if you put it in a musical metaphor. Phonons is a higher light, information. And when we say light, we're not talking about abstract, incoherent light. We're talking about light that patterns itself when it comes into this dimension. Oh my. This dimension is a dimension. When we say third dimension or space-time continuum, you've heard me say those words, we're talking kind of like a band of music, a band of vibration, of frequencies. That means it's kind of held in this far and this low and this wide and this wide. It's kind of boxed in. It has endings and beginnings, and it has tops and bottoms and highs and lows. Now, here, anybody here does not experience those? Highs, lows, ends, beginnings, births, deaths. That's because we live basically in a box, a continuum. But that continuum, if you would put it in the spectrum of vibration, which there's this multitudes of octaves above. When I take the tuners and I get sun and moon, those octaves are so high and some of them so low that we couldn't hear them. I took my granddaughter last weekend to the Children's Museum in Indianapolis, which is the best in the nation. It's quite a place. I've never been there. I've lived there 20 years and never been. So I got an opportunity to go see this place. It's really world famous, the Children's Museum. Quite a thing, but it gave the whole, it's a wonderful place. She's still a little young. You need to be like school age to go in there, but it taught all about sound and how we hear and everything. It talked about how like children, like my granddaughter, almost three, hears at about 23,000 hertz per second. time you're 15, you hear at about 16 hertz, 1,000 hertz per second. And then time we get into our 40s and whatever, we're back down to 10,000 hertz per second. And we keep going down. That's why children have such keen. I mean, my granddaughter can see a spot or something on the wall we never even saw. She's just looking at everything because they're just so keen when they first come in. And we will be too when we're truly born again and become our own children. That's why you had to become as a child to enter into this sacred space. So anyway, I forgot what I was going to say about that.
It's called senility.
It's what?
The second childhood is called senility.
Yeah, senility. That's the ego's version. I like the Holy Spirit's version. So anyway, the phonon is, we have, anyway, it's like 64 octaves higher than what we can hear is what I'm saying to you. Once that you get the vibration of the sun and the moon and the planets. So you have to bring it down. Let me show you just kind of simply what that means. That's a C. But that's a C. That's a C. That's a C. That's a C. This is a C, this is a C, this is a C. They're all C's, but they're octaves. I went octaves higher and I went octaves lower. And we're just some kind of, we're just sort of in the middle of this spectrum of vibration. We have octaves that are higher than us and we have octaves that are lower than us. And that's important that you realize that you also have lower octaves. Everything lower isn't bad. We always reach for the higher. But if you keep reaching for the higher, you'll never find balance until you also reach for the lower. It takes the lower and the higher frequencies to come together to find a balance for where you are sometimes. Now, I think that can say whatever it can say to you, but what it says to me is that sometimes my low times can be just as beneficial to me than my high euphoric times. And we got a program in our hard drive, in the terminal of our brain, that says low is not spiritual. Low is not good. We're supposed to have all this elated joy all the time. I disagree. Leave me alone.
Bring my tracer.
One thing that I find in the low places of the valley is that death is a shadow. That death is not real, but it is a shadow.
All right, now.
For when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. What's in your valley that you're going through? Look around. There are treasures in the valley. If there's an oppression and a depression that comes upon you, that depression is talking to you about something. It's information at some level about something. Don't run from it. Go into it. Commune with it. Have relationship with it. Glean from it and bring it in to your present, because you will find a new equilibrium. Our Earth, our planet, has what we call magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields. How many here have heard of waves and particles? A wave just keeps going. We used to think in the old Newtonian way of science that there is waves and there is particles. You know, we've always had this dichotomy, this duality going on, that this is this and this is that. At the turn of the last century, we found out that actually waves are particles and particles are waves. They're not two separate things. They're the same thing. So I'll give you a little lesson on how a particle is formed. And a particle would be like a electron, neutron, proton, a fermion, photon, boson. I love bosons. Bosons are messenger particles. It's the same word for angel that's used for messengers. Your bosons is what delivers messages all through your body. They are your biological angels that live in your biology. I'm not talking about those ones out there. I'm talking about the ones in here. And all of these are what they are because of their spin. Some spin one whole spin, some spin a half a spin, some spin more than that. It's the spin that gives energy its unique composite frequency. And that's what we name is the frequency. And that's what gives it a certain function. A wave will remain a wave. If you put it in an accelerator in which there are no magnetic fields, a wave will just continue to be a wave. It'll just keep going. But if it hits an electromagnetic field, the electromagnetic field spins the wave into a particle. And how it spins it gives us its frequencies. That's why everything has a frequency, because it is a wave or energy that has connected into electromagnetic field and has a spin. When you change, when things get off of their inherent spin, then you have dissonance or dis-ease, or all kinds of things happen, just like you hit a sour note or you miss the timing or whatever goes on that causes dissonance. And that's why it's so important to allow people to move, dance, sing, spin. Even remember the Tibetan spinning everybody was doing there for a while? Remember that one? How powerful it was? Because it changes the vibratory frequency and helps it many times to be restored back to its original inherent spin. When that happens, then balance takes place. And balance equals healing. Balance equals healing. So, these are particles, which means it is waves or energy. That is what they are because they're in magnetic fields. Now, the latest news on that for the last decade or so is that the magnetic fields are changing themselves. We don't have the same composite frequencies of our magnetic fields. Magnetic fields change. Let me say this to you. You are not electromagnetic fields. You are living in electromagnetic fields. If you didn't, you wouldn't stay on the planet, because the planet is what's spinning around about so many thousands of miles an hour. I forget what the exact, but it's pretty phenomenal, the fact of how we're going through space round. We'd be going in every direction, but it's the fact that we are of magnetic fields, which holds gravity, the electroweak fields, and the nuclear fields. That's called Gen, G-E-N. It's the Trinity. Gravity being the father, the gravity. The nuclear is mother, and they produce the electroweak field, which is the sun. So all I'm doing is giving you a different tongue and a different language. I'm talking about the same things we've talked about for years. You that are sitting here saying, I don't want this man's talk about, I never heard these words. I'm telling you the same thing you've heard about. You've heard about Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You've heard about the rapture and flying off into the air and all these kind of things. I'm just giving some names to it this very 21st century. I'm giving some names to it that is coupling your right and left brain. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm on the cross with you. The cross of the Corpus Callosum.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.somaenergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
I'm going to read something to you. This is worth it. This is my absolutely new Bible. The human nervous system has a crossover structure. Here's a picture if you want to see it. This is your right and left brain, but what you know, between the right and left brain is these millions and millions of neurons that crisscross back and forth between the right and the left brain. Right here. Now, if you'll notice, what is between two objects would be always an overlap. Give me your two tambourines there for just a minute. You got one there and you got one back there. These are X. Things are never like this in the natural state. Even though we've done music this way. This is why music that we play, like on a piano, is a C to a C and a C to a C. And a C to a C and a C to a C and a C to a C and a C to a C, and then it just stops and it started. Therefore, I've got a linear box. And that's called 12-tone temperament music. The West went to that over 200 years ago. When you go back into ancient music, this is why we use sometimes for meditation in a lot of our groups, Native American, East Indian music, Tibetan, Gregorian chanting, because they didn't do this. They are built upon what in the West we would call Pythagorean method of music, in which he did not close the octave, but left it open. So therefore, it didn't go linear, beginning and end, but it continued to spiral up and up and up and up and up. And because Pythagorean did that 2,500 years ago, and began to put that on a stringed instrument called a monochord, people begin to experience healings. And they begin to come for what was called sound medicine. Sound medicine. And of course, like so many things, it was put away in the Dark Ages. It was put back in the archives of religions. Mystery schools by that time was emerging into the Templars, the Scottish Rite, the Masons, and this is no offense to anybody here that might be of those, because unless you're at the highest degrees, you would not really know the real secrets anyway. You probably think you're doing a very good service, and I'm not denying the fact that there are good things being done by societies that are holding secrets that have been held for thousands of years. And I'm trying to say that the best as I can, and be pure and transparent with it, not judgmental. You know, if it wasn't for the age of information, you wouldn't know what you know right now. If it wasn't for the computer and for the global brain, you would not know what you know now because they wouldn't have told you. Nothing they can do now because we've opened up the age of information. And everything that has been held in secret shall be revealed and shouted from the housetops. But you got to be careful because power comes with knowledge. And sometimes it isn't our own inner power, it is the power of them that are losing their power. And when you take on their power that they're losing, it carries their agenda in it. And you'll turn it around in a spiritual way and justify yourself to do the same thing they did in the name of the Lord. And that's why we've seen history repeat itself and repeat itself so many times until it had to be finally brought to destruction. That's right. That's why. That's why civilizations, Atlantis, all of these civilizations we read about that used to be Sumer, all of these that were powerful civilizations ended up where they ended up was the fact that they took on the power of those that had the power and used it in the same way in the name of their own belief system. That's why Jesus said, please be careful in these times because they would kill you thinking they did God a service. But if you take that same mindset, that same pattern of energy upon you, then you will feel justified to kill them first. And that's what's happening in the West right now. Oh, don't get me on my political soapbox here. I don't want to do it. But I do see a combination of some things here that's a little concerning to me that has to do with kind of a a religious fundamental flair to it. The fact that someone's on a mission to help fulfill the end times and Armageddon. And the message has gone back to those who have done for us, we must do back to them first. Those who would kill us, we must kill. Back to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we who are perceived as a threat at this time, those who are speaking out. You know, I heard a little bit of the video of Madonna, and I'm not that tremendously a big Madonna fan, but I heard the video and what they're so upset about, and all she said on the video is, I am not Jewish and I am not Christian. She has every right to say that. Every right to say, what is this? This does not have to do with me in the context of the religions of the West. I'm a human being. I'm a person. I'm a being. And don't get me on the Dixie Chicks. I'm not even going to go there. And here we are, the last free speech culture that isn't so free anymore to speak that I have to be careful what I say. But I hope you get what I'm saying. If we take on the very thing that's been done to us and take that back on ourselves and put it back on them, eventually everything is destroyed. Nothing wins. Nothing wins. And there will have to be another Genesis coming out of the ashes. Again. But things overlap. And you've heard this term. You've heard it from me. You've heard it from others that have taught the so-called message of the ages or the kingdom message. We've always talked about the overlap. Things aren't like this. There's not an age that ends and an age begins, but it overlaps. So you're actually living in what's dying out and what's birthing. But this is a very important space. And if you put it like this and would put a tail on it, you'd have the symbol of the fish. Pisces. The age that we're moving out of is Pisces into the Aquarian age. You see fish sometimes on Christian automobiles because it was really an ancient sign of, well, we could say the more mystical Christian. Pre-third dimension. They don't understand that. For some reason, they think it's Jesus tell them to go out and fish or something. And they don't know. They got on their car. A new age symbol. No, it's really the old age symbol. But if they thought it was a Pisces symbol, oh my God, they'd be out there with holy water, casting the devil out of their car. But we have a name for that. And the fact that it takes on a form and a shape was taken from the word we use for bladder. Isn't that interesting? Which is the vesica. Vesica is the bladder.
What's it called?
Vesica. Or vesica. Each with what you call it, the vesica. V-E-S-I-C-A. Vesica. And of course, fish is Pisces. So you have the vesica Pisces. It's kind of an almond shape. And if I just kept doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this, I would have the seed of life. If I just kept drawing these circles and overlapping them, I would have what's called the seed of life.
The flower life.
Yeah, you can call it the flower life. I call it the seed of life. It is the divine DNA. Now, I have pictures of ancient books that have been given to me where Christ is shown in the vesica Pisces, that he was born when he said, I am a mediator between God and man. There is your mediator position in the fish, the vesica Pisces. Probably use the word bladder because water. Because the next thing is the picture of water that's being poured over in the Aquarian age. Maybe, I don't know, that's just my guess. But we have learned that these spaces in here are the most powerful spaces for energy that is not of the norm of this dimension to come in. And anytime you get energy that's higher than this dimension to come in, it starts looking for dissonance to restore it to resonance, and it begins to look for imbalances to balance it, and it does it quite naturally. Therefore, you don't do it. You can no longer be the healers. The energy itself will result in balancing, which the result of balancing will be healing. So I teach all in the workshops not to give energy, but to receive energy and let energy give itself where it's needed. This is where you get out of the way. And somebody's saying, but oh, my shoulder is just killing me. Please work here, work here, work here. But when you receive the energy and the energy comes through and you're facilitating, you're being the channel, not the giver, you're going to say, but the energy is leading me down here. What's going on in your life in the sense of direction? Oh, but they're saying, but my shoulder hurts. I don't care about direction or where I'm going. Help me, my shoulder. But the energy is saying something's going on in your left foot. What's going on in the sense of the direction you're taking in your life that has to do with feminine energy? Because left is always controlled by the right or feminine. And they're so saying, but please help this pain. But the pain is an effect. Let's get down to the cause. Forget where the pain is. The pain will go if we get this corrected. Let's get to it energetically. Because all of the information is there that you need. So finally, Irene says, okay. Yes, I'm considering a decision to be made
with a daughter of mine. We're really thinking about looking at going together to buy a house, a trailer, something. I don't know. I'm just kind of picking. I'm real good at this now. I'm getting this now. Just a minute. Yeah. Whatever that means. And I just haven't, my shoulders hurt so bad, I just haven't done it. And she's just saying, Mom, we need to get this done and whatever. And I said, well, get it done. Take that direction. Get this cleared up. So she takes that advice and she goes and clears up the deal. The situation is done and finished. And the next thing, she wakes up a day or two later and the pain has gone out of the shoulder. Because she was carrying it. You carry on your shoulder what's unfinished. Huh? Do you get what I'm saying? So if the intelligence of the energy is taking me below the waist, we're talking about direction. If it's taking it above the waist, what am I doing in my life right now or not doing that I need to get done? I'm pulled here. I get the doing. Time to do.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on science, sound, and spirituality with David Hulse.
Yeah, don't get into that spiritual thing that says just do nothing and wait and see. It's time to do some things. Get it done. If you don't, you're going to have some stuff in your elbows, arms, wrists, breasts, stomach, intestines, all kinds of stuff. Then if the energy, and you come to me. What's your name again, huh?
Eileen,
yes. Eileen comes, and she's got a pain in her foot. She says, oh, would you put the tuning on everything? And I'm receiving the energy, and the energy says, oh, no, it's coming from in here somewhere, right around this part of the head in the air. But I heard here. Someone said, Eileen, what's your thinking today? What's your perception? What is going on in your thinking? Something's off. You're not doing something you're thinking about. You get what I'm saying? Come on, I'm giving you a lesson here that people pay $300-$400 to get. So I'll expect those checks tomorrow. Anyway, I'm doing level one now, see. So but this was powerful. And when you get John's Pythagorean forks, which is still built on the Do-Re-Mi-Fa-Sol-La, they are powerful because they don't go like this. They go like this. But if you'll notice, even though they're going up, they're still going in time and linear. So I said, what is so powerful about the solfeggio? What is going on there that you understand why I'm still in this 2.5 years ago, and I really almost started it here. When I did about 34 people one week, and oh my God, wore myself out doing people. That was a lot. That's when I was doing people in a chair and all that. And I thought, something's going on. Because the only reason I'm still in it is not because of what I've thought up and put together. It's because of the feedback. It's because of the responses, the testimonials that I continue to get and pour in from people. I tell you, I get a call from a gentleman, and I was just interviewed last Thursday for an hour in Pittsburgh on the radio by a doctor. And I've got another interview with him for an hour and another interview. I've got two more interviews in Pittsburgh. I've done four interviews on our radio programs on these tuning forks in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And this one guy calls me. He's taken level one, but he has learned so many modalities. He says, I can eliminate any allergy in 30 minutes by using what I've learned and putting your tuning forks in. Oh yeah, he's the one sponsoring the workshop in June. And in fact, I've invited him to our retreat this year. No, he's just a phenomenal guy. That's who he is. We've just so connected, but his ability is beyond. And I'll guarantee all of you who come, meet him and let him work on you will be changed. He is absolutely phenomenal in his ability. And he's even teaching me. I mean, this is one situation which the student has surpassed the teacher. And he's just my star student in that sense. But he's just so trained in many things. But he's integrated it well. And he's doing it. I can't get people to go out there and do it. But he's actually doing it and developing it for himself and has built a rapport. Anyway, so the thing that I found out was different. 12-tone temperament, just intonation, powerful. This transcended anything because it didn't. And when I got, and it was something that Lois Winter wrote in a paper to me when she was studying these to make the CD that got me. And it said, David, I can't make these tones of this scale go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. And I thought, that just went through my whole body. It means it doesn't disperse into past and future. It doesn't disperse in any time, space, dimensions. It just stays in the now.
Yeah. Shivers on that one.
Yeah. It just stays like this. See him again? I'll do it again. The way we do our music is like this. Octave to octave. Didn't close the octave. Spiraled. But I'm still going up, but in time, that's better. But this doesn't go anywhere in time, space. It just is multi-dimensional here and now energy. So when you're using those frequencies, you're keeping the energy coherent. And coherent energy can cut through a steel door. As coherent light becomes a laser, that can cut through a steel door. And I'm telling you, coherent light can cut through your steel doors that you've put up and locked where you don't let even yourself in. And that's why we can retrieve information from you that you've even tried to forget that needs to be brought out in that sense. But this is also called something else. It's very powerful. In the old paradigm, and I talked about this last night, what changed my life is we called it empty space. The empty space of the human cell. If you look under the natural microscopes of science, you would see that the greatest percentage. Every one of you are connected by a field. Now, in old science, we found a force. We found the force. And that was powerful, that we found a force. But what was more powerful, a hundred so years ago, a man named Maxwell put copper and electricity together and found electromagnetic force field. Ah, changed everything. When we went from force to a force field, everything that we had learned in science was questioned. Are you following me? I cannot tell you, one of the most powerful words today is field. This started Einstein on the idea of the unified field theory, which he spent his entire life trying to prove and never did actually come to the proof. It finally came down to Max Planck and David Bohm and others who have continued on to make this more of a reality in your time than any other time, more and more people are accepting the fact that there is a field of energy that connects everything, that nothing is separate from nothing else. Larry and I yesterday just happened, I don't know what we did, passed each other or did something like that, and we did, without physically touching, literally, caused a spark of remember that? Yesterday, just energy. Because we'd been talking and connecting and we was really into it, and we was really into energetic relationship. And therefore, when you bring consciousness into that energetic relationship, it activates what you are, which is not electromagnetic, but electric. I like the word electrical system better than spiritual system. Spirit can just be and lay there and be there. But activated spirit, when spirit becomes a verb, hi, and not a noun, which is so powerful. When spirit becomes the verb. Did you know in the Italian translation of in the beginning was the word? In the Italian translation of that, it says in the beginning was the verb. It's not word, it's verb. In the beginning was the action. In the beginning was the force. Something that had laid in its dormancy came alive and became a force and forced itself from itself and began to move through the magnetic fields, spinning the energy or wave into particles that became planets and stars and all of the different species that roam this planet. But hear me, people, it was looking for something else. It wasn't the dinosaur that was to be its most wonderful creation. Wipe that out 65 million years ago. New species. You know what came in after the dinosaur? The mouse. When one species left, a new one came in. Just read that the other day. I thought you might just like to know that. Mickey came in, and Minnie. We wouldn't have Disney World if it wasn't for that, I guess.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program and the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.